from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 14 and following. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Last Sunday, we began our New Year's emphasis with our mission goals of 2019. And if you'll remember with me, we focused upon the message from the Gospel of John, who inspired us to consider in that wonderful gospel of the Bible where John records the word "believed" 47 times. And John went on to, as we saw exemplified in our text last week, demonstrated and proclaimed to us that when we embody a sense of mission, when we embody the nature of Jesus Christ, who did things in the name of the Lord for others, that we, dear church, are helping others to believe. In fact, some have said before that a congregation often doesn't care how much their preacher knows until they know how much he cares. There is a sense of communicating the gospel so often, sometimes, that our actions speak so loudly that our words can't even be heard. And so we receive together this emphasis from John, the gospel writer, last week that spoke to us the importance of embodying and doing our faith as much as speaking of our faith. And then again, this week, we reflect upon the Gospel of Luke and how Luke, following also the example of John, speaks of how important missions are to the life of the church and, more importantly, to the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some scholars say that this portion of Scripture recorded by Luke, the gospel writer, is what Luke understands to be the Great Commission or mission of our Lord. Many of us are familiar with the Great Commission that's recorded in Matthew. And we even touched on that last week, where we focus on those three essential ingredients or even commands of the commission. Go, make, all. We fill that in with disciples. We consider that it says teach, but the commission for us as the church is to go. Go beyond our walls, outside of ourselves, to live out God's love for all people. So as we consider Luke and Matthew, their emphasis on mission, we hear today what some call the mission of our Lord as recorded in Luke. The writer begins by encouraging us as the church to consider that this is Jesus' first public act of ministry as recorded in Luke. If we look back in Luke, we'll see that Jesus had just received the gift of his baptism. And then he spent those 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the evil one. And immediately after his temptation, that's where our passage picks up today, where it says to us, Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee. You know, I love that emphasis that Luke says to us, that upon being anointed, gifted with God's love, Jesus returned to his own. And Luke shares with us that as he went into this synagogue setting, this local congregation, if we will, that the first act of Jesus' public ministry was to read this writing from the prophet Isaiah that speaks of doing the faith, where he says, "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news, to release the captives, to care for the poor, to let the oppressed go free, not just physically, but spiritually, mentally, and emotionally oppressed." Our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed those words and then said, "Today, this message has been fulfilled through me." In other words, our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "I didn't just come to preach of the faith, but to practice the faith, to embody caring for those outside of the synagogue setting, outside of the congregation, to be the church." As I've often said to you, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is not so much a place or even a noun, as much as it is a verb, a people in action, living out the love of our Lord. We are the church, an example of Jesus Christ. So as we consider these words of Luke today, this mission statement of our Lord is recorded there, I find it encouraging to me on my journey to strive to walk in the ways of Christ, to hear where Jesus said, "My message to you," as he preached it that day, "was to proclaim the favor of the Lord." Isn't that what we do when we practice missions? We help others to see that they are favored by our Lord. They are loved by our Lord. That he looks upon us at our worst, as we talked about in men's breakfast this morning. That he came to us not at our best, but even in our brokenness, and he offered us his favor, that we were worth saving and loving. That's what we proclaim through our actions when we live out our faith in missions. So now that we've considered again a little bit more today, what are missions, the things we do? The question maybe presents itself, then why should we as a congregation engage in local missions? Why is that central to our faith? You know, I think that there's no accident that in the very early portion of this text, that as I referenced earlier, the writer Luke says Jesus returned in verse 14, as if to remind us he was going back home. And in case we miss it there, Luke goes on to say in verse 16 that when he came to Nazareth, his hometown. You see, Jesus embodied the sense of calling that we minister first and foremost where God has placed us in this world. I've heard some people say, "We, dear church, are called to bloom right where we're planted." If Jesus felt an importance and a sense of urgency to return to those that God had been entrusted him to most of all, then isn't that our role as the church? We remember our people. There are certain cultures, there are certain needs in our community that we're aware of and that we're equipped to minister that the outside world cannot. Right? You know, I was thinking when we lived in St. Louis, I was watching the news one night and being accustomed to local culture and the way things work in a farming community, there was a report on the news that evening that shared a headline, and the news reporter said this: Black and Gus cause traffic jam on the interstate. Black and Gus is how he described it. And then all of a sudden they showed all of these black cows on the side of the interstate. And to that, the news reporter asked, well, I wonder which one is black and which one is Gus. And the lady must have been a good farm girl because she corrected him. And she said, I think they mean Black Angus, not Black and Gus. He didn't know his surroundings. You see, we are people that know about Black Angus cattle in our community, right? I was driving not long ago across Highway 30, headed to New Albany, and I saw this lady flagging the traffic down, trying to get everybody to slow down. I didn't know why, but of course I slowed down, went a little further, topped a hill, and then I saw a man flagging even more aggressively. So I slowed down further, and then just beyond him was a cow grazing right on the side of the road. Now, we who've grown up here in North Mississippi, I just about would venture to say that every one of us has seen a cow on the side of the road being out of place, right? Because that's part of our home. That's part of our culture. But you know what I've never done? I've never stopped. Have any of you, when you saw that cow on the side of the road and started flagging traffic where they wouldn't run over the cow? Weren't those people so concerned about our well-being that they got out and flagged down traffic because the cow, just some random cow, I just don't believe would inspire such action. You know why I think they were out flagging traffic down? Lamon knows, because it was their cow, right? It makes all the difference, right? When it's yours, it's more personal. You're more intimately engaged in their safety and of the safety of those around you. Friends, could it be that the call of faith for us to engage in local missions is that it's our cow? It's the needs right here in front of us in our community. And friends, I'm telling you, nobody's coming from Tennessee or from another country to care for the needs right here in our community. They're our cow. And if we don't embody the love of Christ, then who will here locally? If we don't represent our Lord through our actions, then who's going to make the difference? May we embody the nature of our Lord Jesus to return home, to practice the faith, and bloom as the church right where we've been planted. You know, we see that even through local and national missions. Some of us are familiar with the Great Lilly Foundation that was formed through the Lilly Pharmaceutical Agency. They do amazing work throughout our nation, but you know where they work primarily? In the state of Indiana. You know why? That's where they're from. It's their cow. That's where they were called to minister and serve to most of all. So friends, if no one is coming to be the church here, shouldn't we start right where we are and serve through the name of Christ so that His light will shine in our community, that He may be glorified for all to see? Finally, in our text today, when Jesus goes and reflects the love of our Lord in His community, it tells us this near the end of our text, that all who heard him gave glory to the Father above. So church, most of all, why do we embody a sense of mission? Yes, we communicate God's favor. Yes, we care for those God's entrusted us to most of all. But is there any greater way for us as the church to bring glory to our Lord above than to show His love to people in need beyond simply what we say, but also what we do, so that they too may come to believe in the saving power of our risen Lord. Amen. Let's respond.